I'm a fun
you
guy.
You have fun when they finish below 500.
I'm just Captain Fun.
I guess.
I'm gonna wear a captain suit the show from now on.
I don't like the half point.
Well, that's called the hook.
I don't like it.
What the hook?
How do you get rid of it? Can you get rid of the hook?
I'm gonna have a coronary. I'm getting too old for this job, but you guys may have won.
Upset. If you look back at where the term came from, it was from a horse race. Upset.
When did you turn into Cliff Clavin?
I like this job. I've had it for a long time, Paul.
Last one.
This
point.
Isn't a chemistry lab.
You're on the verge of next year's Super Bowl.
I can't help what I think. Be honest, Paulie. You're not doing this for other people's entertainment. You are truly enjoying this.
This is Orange Nation. With Stephen Fonte and Paulie Sebelia.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us. Alongside Paulie Sebelia, I'm Stephen Fonte. It's a Thursday edition of Orange Nation. NBA draft set for tonight. We've got several guests lined up for you on the show today. Coming up at 12:30, Brendan Cuddy, Yankees reporter for NJ.com. Talk some baseball. Yankees just cannot lose. Aaron Judge, two more home runs last night. Yanks come back to beat the Rays 5-4. We'll talk to Brendan Cuddy about the Yanks. Scoop Jardine at 1 o'clock. We mentioned Scoop on the show yesterday. We said we should talk to him. We're going to hear from him coming up at 1 o'clock.
I'm
we'll get to see Scoop in action at OCC.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if he wants to face off against behind.
Oh, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does.
He clearly does because if he's that far in, they got a shot at the money.
Yeah. That would be for the game to go to the quarterfinals. That would be the Sweet 16, so to speak. So we'll hear from Scoop coming up at 1. Then John Fanta, play-by-play broadcaster reporter for Fox College Hoops. He will join us at 1:30 to break down the NBA draft. Plus, we'll mix in your phone calls at any time at 315-437-7644. And apparently, Paulie has a story he has to tell us at some point today that is not related to sports.
Yes.
We will get
to
that.
I love doing that. I screwed up this morning. Jordan's like, are you busy this morning? You haven't returned any text. And I'll explain why.
Had an issue? Had a little problem. Okay. We look forward to hearing from that. We start with the NBA draft. And yeah, I was listening to Brent Axe yesterday when I was in the car.
I'm sorry.
Brent was talking about, you know, the scout who knows. Thank you.
I think it's just the voice in his head. That's okay.
The scout who knows tells him that that after pick 35 or so, not much better than Buddy Boeheim out there, and he thinks there's a decent chance Buddy hears his name called tonight.
Now, Cole Swider's not getting picked, but he's out there. He's gone through 12 workouts. The Lakers worked him out twice. Okay, so he's at the very least in the conversation here that if he doesn't get picked, he's, I'm giving away what the scout who knows said, but you know he's going to be in the mix even if he doesn't hear his name called tomorrow night, which he's not going to. Let's be honest here. So here we go. Latest intel from the scout who knows on Buddy Boeheim. Brent, to be honest, talked to a couple of GMs and assistant GMs, and they all like Buddy, and they're very surprised he's not in any draft conversations. I don't know how well he worked out for other teams, but I think he's a mid-second round pick, maybe even early second round. Once you get past pick 35 or so, there's not a lot out there that's better than Buddy.
There you go. That's one man's opinion, and it's, again, he apparently knows, scout who knows. We could hear Buddy's name called tonight. Might be late, but we could hear his name called.
Yeah. I'm starting to get a vibe.
Yeah?
That maybe he will. Maybe he will get his name called.
Well, we've talked about this in the past.
What
about
is that? 20-some-odd picks? 23 picks? After 35?
Yeah, right.
You know? That he could go to.
Right. And all it takes is one. He doesn't have to get drafted by six teams. He just has to get drafted by one. All it takes is, you know, he crushed it at one workout. You know, one team just has to have a need. Again, he fills a void.
Like,
right?
Jordan and I were talking about this. You tell me Golden State couldn't, like, Buddy Boeheim doesn't fit that play? Just stand in the corner and shoot?
Yeah.
Sixers don't have picks. They need a Buddy Boeheim. They don't have a pick, so. So they're out.
Shooting is certainly a hot commodity in the NBA, outside shooting. And we know that he can do that. And we know there are questions. You hear the questions about, you know, him at the next level. And is he athletic enough? Can he defend? You know, can he do enough other things? But there are guys in the NBA that they make a living shooting threes.
The angry Boeheim people are out on Q Sports Talk early. all caps and no shot. The scout who knows had him picked last year also. He probably could have gotten drafted last year. I think his odds would have been better last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was part of the conversation on Brent's show yesterday that he said he might have been able to sneak into the back end of the first round last year. I don't know about that, but
that run.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was special. Yeah. Yeah. My gut tells me he's not getting picked tonight.
You want a bet? Lunch? I owe you. Yes, I haven't had any lunch. I'm riding the.
You're just gonna keep betting me until you win one.
I'm gonna ride the Boeheim train.
Double or nothing. Triple or nothing.
I asked CBW to do some. He says, I'm trying to find the odds on Buddy getting drafted, because I'm willing to take that bet. I'd throw a unit on Buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting better vibes. You know,
from
just all the talk I'm hearing.
The buzz.
You know, I'm in the know too, you know.
Yeah?
I have my sources.
Your people are saying that he's going to get drafted tonight.
No, but I listened to Gomez on TK99 and watch him on Q Sports Talk, and he had a NBA insider on talking about Buddy. You know, Rob Murphy.
Sure.
He assisted to Troy Weaver, the GM of...
We know Rob Murphy well.
...of the Detroit Pistons.
Rob Murphy.
And this is... I did it again.
You did. You did.
And he happens to know a thing or two about the players in the draft.
Buddy in particular, we think he has a really good chance to play at the NBA level because he's an elite shooter. He has a high basketball IQ. He's a high-level competitor. And he's continued to grow over the years. So both those guys have done well for themselves in the draft process. Not sure where they'll fall, but I think they both have a pretty good chance to play professionally and have really good careers.
Both those guys, meaning Buddy and Cole.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes, I'm guessing. Rob also talked about Buddy and Jimmy's workout with the Pistons.
Both of those guys came in and done an unbelievable job. We had a chance to interview with Buddy Boeheim at the G League Combine in Chicago, and we enjoyed, you know, talking to him. I personally know him, but the staff enjoyed talking with him and getting to know him. And then having him and Jimmy come in for a workout probably 48 hours apart was really fun for me in particular as well and our organization to get to know both players. But Buddy, he did very well for himself. I mean, he's, you know, been on a workout tear from my understanding, but here in particular, you know, he did a really good job in his workout. He competed well. He shot the ball well. He interviewed and talked to everybody throughout our organization and did a really good job. And then Jimmy, you know, did the same thing. I mean, I was more impressed with Jimmy being able to step out and shoot the ball. He's become a really good shooter, you know, over his career. But
he'll play overseas.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to jump on that Boeheim bandwagon yet.
Good.
But the more I hear and the more I think, because when you get that late in the draft, Buddy Boeheim's not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a good kid. That, you know.
It's a safe pick.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, it is. You're going to get a guy who can score the basketball, and he's not going to cause you any trouble.
Yeah.
Am I swaying you? Or do you want to make the lunch bet?
I don't think he's getting picked.
All right, I'm willing to bet.
Okay.
I'm 0-3.
But one of these times, it's bound to work for you.
Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong, because I would like...
I think he will.
You think he will? Okay.
I'm looking at Golden State. That's where I'm looking. Golden State at 51.
That's the spot.
Yeah. Miami doesn't need him. I'm looking at other teams. Knicks could use anybody, right? Yeah, Detroit could use him. You know, they just traded Jeremy Grant too. By the way, we would play what he said about Jeremy Grant, but he couldn't talk about it because
right.
It's not official yet.
Right.
Like, there's just so many teams that need so much help when you know.
Golden State's owner happens to be an SU grad.
Oh, look at that.
Here's the
thing.
You
tell me Cleveland couldn't use him?
Here's the thing. If you're Minnesota? Buddy Boeheim, I know you want to get drafted. You want to be able to say, I was drafted by an NBA team. We touched on this the other day, and we've talked about this in the past. Is it better, though, for him, for his future, and for him making a team, to not get drafted and to pick his spot?
No.
You don't think it's better?
Not if the right team drafts.
Well, right, but then that's up to the... It takes the control out of your hands. At least, if you don't get drafted... You can pick your spot. You can look at the roster, say, you know what? I think I got the best chance of making this roster. Whereas if you're drafted, the decision's made for you.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd rather be drafted. If I'm an athlete,
so,
I'd rather.
So you could say that. Yeah, so you had that badge of honor. Yeah,
I'd rather get drafted.
That's fair. And you know what? He probably thinks like that, and he probably feels like that. I would assume most would feel like that. I guess that's the silver lining, though. I know he wants to get drafted. If he doesn't get drafted, that might be the silver lining that, all right, you know what? Disappointing, but the positive in this is I get to pick my spot. Look at the roster. Which roster do I think I can make?
Oh, we got our first buddy's going to get drafted on his name alone.
I think it's a toss-up.
Like, legitimately, just this kid. I know they didn't win a lot of basketball games this year. The kid is a great basketball player. You know, you don't tie for the lead of scoring in the ACC not being a good basketball player.
Right. And NBA teams, they look for guys who could do something exceptionally well. And Buddy can do something exceptionally
well. Sure, Rob Murphy's not going to say anything negative about a kid he watched grow up. But come on.
Right.
But he's also not going to lie in a way where he's...
Sure. And you know what? I do think Buddy, he does provide you with something. Right, and I think he's certainly going to be on a summer, whether he gets drafted or not. He's going to be on a summer league team. He's going to get an opportunity to show what he can do, and maybe he's not good enough, or maybe he's not good enough right now. But he's going to get an opportunity.
I want to ask something to the naysayers and to the negative people. Could you imagine if Coach Boeheim did not get his son, like he just decided, you know what, he's not good enough, like he did with Jimmy, and Buddy went elsewhere and put up the numbers he did at Syracuse? What the
19 plus a game?
What the fan base would be saying?
Yeah.
Did you want to let him? Did you want Coach to let him go somewhere else? Is that what you wanted? Oh, you're just so awful. People are awful.
Negativity getting to you? You're not feeding off
like
it today,
Paul. The kid's in his early 20s, busted his ass, and there's like scouts saying that maybe he could get drafted, and people are just. Nope, not going to happen. I got Cheeto dust on my face and drink Schlitz. I know better. Ugh, it is getting to me. And it's not even negativity, it's stupidity is what it is, Steve. You think an NBA team who's trying to win basketball games is going to go, oh, look, there's a guy, there's a name I recognize. Let's draft him. Boeheim, I've seen that name before. I'll pick him. No, that's not it. If he doesn't get picked, it's because he wasn't good enough. And if he does get picked, it's because he was good enough, not because what his last name is.
He might not get picked, and he might be good enough.
Yeah.
You know? And he's going to get the opportunity to show. That's what I'm saying. Like, tonight, it's not the be-all and end-all for either of these guys, Cole or Buddy. Because whether they get picked or not, and Cole's not going to get picked, I don't think Buddy's going to get picked, but they're going to go to a summer league. They're going to get a chance to prove themselves. If they play well enough, you know, then they get a chance to go to camp. Can they make the roster? It'll be up to them. Tonight is just, it's about where they end up, right? Whether they get drafted or if they pick their own spot. But what's going to determine whether or not they stick in the NBA, that's going to happen later this summer. It's not going to happen tonight.
Yeah. So it's I think it could happen, and I'm rooting for it.
Sure.
Because they're good kids, you know, they're the royal family of Syracuse, whether you like it or not, and you want them to do good.
They are good kids, and I mean, we got to know Cole this year. He seems like a real good kid. You know, Buddy, we've known for a long time, and, you know, you do root for him. You hope good things happen to those young men. All right, let's take our first time out. Phone lines open if you want to check in at 315-437-7644. Brendan Cuddy, Yankees reporter from NJ.com, joining us in about 15 minutes. We're just getting started on a Thursday edition of Orange Nation. Back after this on ESPN Radio.
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com.
Welcome back to Orange Nation, our artist of the day, EPMD. This is Rap is Out of Control. This is one of their last videos I remember from Yo MTV Raps. So we'll start slow and work our way in.
All right, good.
Rap is Out of Control.
Love EPMD. Jordan's in studio with us.
Why?
He's going to tell us. Jordan, why are you here?
I'm here to complain.
About?
I like Buddy Boeheim. No, I'm here to complain about Woj. I'm upset with him. I'm already preparing to go into tonight, and I have to turn my phone off because these jerks tweet out the picks a minute ahead.
I also heard he tanked the odds of the draft.
Yeah, he ruined gambling for us. So listen to this. Last night, Jabari Smith, consensus number one pick for a while, pretty much since Holmgren slid a little bit. He was minus 550 last night. There were reports that Paolo Banchero was going to get picked first. So as of 5 a.m. this morning, Banchero was a minus 200 favorite. Crazy shift. But then this morning, Woj tweeted out that the top three, pretty firm with Smith, Holmgren, Banchero. Sportsbooks are pulling the odds down now. Smith is like minus 10,000. That's bad value. But this is just another example of how the internet is ruining all of these things for us.
It ruined the NFL draft, and it's ruined. You have to shut Twitter off if you want to watch a draft and be surprised. And I was watching the NFL draft and love CBW from our chat, but he kept messaging me the picks, and I'd get alerts, and I was getting angry.
Are you going to turn off the ESPN notifications?
I'm going to turn my phone upside down and watch the draft.
Steve, so you probably have to watch the whole draft because you got nine.
It's on our station, so
I was going to say, do you guys go in and watch the second round? Because the NBA draft is weird where they don't really break it up. Like, the NFL draft's easy enough, but do you guys watch the whole thing?
Or? We'll have it on in the office. I'll pay attention to what I need to pay attention to, but, sometimes, a lot of times, so, in the second round, especially if there's not a Syracuse guy who might go or will go, then I'm doing other things while it's on. But, yeah, it's on the entire time.
You're skipping the first round and watching the second tonight. Yeah, right.
Do you have, a package put together in case he goes?
Oh, yeah, we've got, we'll be ready either way.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be ready
either
way.
Better
be. Yeah. We got some sound with Cole Swider, so we'll actually hear from Swider tonight in our 6 o'clock news.
I'm so confident if you'd like to hear Buddy Boeheim get drafted, you could hear it right here on ESPN Radio as we're carrying the draft from 7 to midnight tonight.
Talking about this makes me so sad looking at these mock drafts and seeing five Duke guys who could get picked in the first round.
Why is that shocking?
It's not shocking. It's just sad.
Like, why? That's what they do every year. That's why Steve loves them so much.
They get a 12th of the draft, and we get like one video package at the beginning and then a lot of hope.
They are Duke. That's what Duke does. The bar's a little higher there.
What do we think about this top three, by the way? Do you think they got it right? In terms of the teams and the order in which, if it ends up being Smith, Holmgren, Banchero, did they get it right?
This is a weak take for me, but Holmgren just scares me. And yeah. I know we're getting more used to the skinny, lanky 7-footers who can shoot in the NBA. I mean, he's not Bol Bol, but we've kind of seen what's happened with him where he's been playing the G League. He'll come up for like 5 minutes on the Nuggets roster or wherever he is. And Holmgren's the guy I'm looking at. I think if you take Banchero, that's pretty safe. You know what you're getting.
Yeah, I'm with you. That was why I asked the question. Okay. I have the same feeling.
Holmgren could blow up.
He needs to, literally.
Yeah.
Eating wise.
Yeah, no doubt. He's got to put weight on.
He looks like Sean Bradley.
I think Smith at one is right, and I'm with you. I think Banchero is a safer pick, in my opinion, than Holmgren. But we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. And it might be a couple years before we know, if these teams got it right or not.
Jordan, you're kind of a gambler.
Kind of.
If we were
bad week so far this week. I need help, people.
They're not out there. We've been looking all over. I've put everybody on it. If you were to set odds on Buddy Boeheim getting drafted and I wanted to throw a unit on it, what would you put it at?
Oh, this is really difficult. So I'm the bookmaker. I'm trying to get the most money I can out of you, make it enticing. I mean, like Brent Scout said yesterday, it's kind of a crapshoot in the late second round. I'd give you maybe plus 350, 400, plus 400. I don't want to give you too much because he could get picked at the end.
That's lower than I had expected.
Well, you never know. That's the thing. The Boeheim name holds weight, shooting holds weight, and maybe some team wants to.
Did you not listen to me earlier? Nobody's drafting him because of his name. Yeah, they're running a franchise.
What if there's a team who wants to make sure they get the first crack at him and he doesn't
You say that about nobody's picking him because of his name. You're right about that. But what comes with his name and after you interview him and watch him play? High basketball IQ. Obviously could shoot the heck out of the basketball. To your point, you said this earlier, he's not going to be a problem, right? Okay. So I do think He does have some intangibles.
He may punch you in the stomach, but...
Yeah, yeah.
He was asked about that. I guarantee he was asked about that everywhere.
He said he was.
Right. I bet. That doesn't surprise me at all. And I'm sure that...
A couple weeks ago.
He cleared that up. And you know what? I think that he handled that the aftermath of that pretty well. Right? I mean, it could have been one of those moments that defines him. And I thought he handled that pretty well. So my guess is nobody has a concern about that moving forward.
What did you think I was going to put the odds at, Paulie? I'm curious what you guys would place that. If you're a book.
Well, if I'm listening to the lay people, it's a zero chance. So I would expect the number to be higher.
I mean, if you're saying like top 40, the number's higher, but you never know what's going to happen at like 57, 58. You either pick a center from France who you played basketball for 4 years, or you pick Buddy Boeheim, who's been for damn near 20.
We don't know what happened at some of these, at any of these workouts for that matter. He might have absolutely crushed it someplace.
Murph said he shot the lights out.
Yeah, right. So, you know, maybe he did go to Golden State and he was incredibly impressive. And we know he's winning interviews. We know he's a great interview. Again, coach's kid, high IQ, not a troublemaker, like Boeheim. All of that. And then, you know, on top of it, if he crushed a workout, who knows?
Hey, I know this is the generic comparison we got the whole last year, but Duncan Robinson didn't play a ton in the playoffs. You need another sniper? We got your guy right here from Syracuse.
It's the comparison, right? Everybody's comparing him to Duncan Robinson. We'll see what happens tonight. I'm intrigued. I think there's a chance. Like I said, my gut tells me no.
Your gut's wrong.
Okay.
Why does your gut hate the Boeheim family? You're just like the negative people.
No, I'm not negative. I'm just telling you what I think. That's what I think.
You might have just had some more mayo-crusted chicken last night, and you're not sure of it. That could be what's going on.
How about the guy who puts mayo in his coffee?
Yeah, he's weird, dude. All these
that
guys.
That is like, weird.
And was that the same guy who eats the banana with the peel on, or was it a different guy?
I don't know.
But I've watched... Ever since someone said that you make cakes with mayo, I get kind of mayo in the coffee because it makes things creamy. Yeah, okay. I don't know.
Great.
It's gross.
It is gross. That is gross. All right, we've got to switch gears. Brendan Cuddy, Yankees reporter for NJ.com, will join us next on ESPN Radio.
ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com.
EPMD, the artist of the day, you're a customer. It's like a 50-year-old now I hear that name. What a stupid name for a song. You're a customer.
Yet you're playing it like 30 years later.
So great.
All right, let's...
in a danger zone. All right, go ahead.
Let's bring on our last guest today. We've got John Fanta joining us, play-by-play broadcaster and reporter for Fox College Hoops. We're talking NBA draft with John. Always great to have you on, John. How are you today?
It's great to be with you guys. I'm doing well. It's draft day. And at the end of the day, guys, whether you're hearing your name called or it's 1 a.m. and you're getting that call from an organization that wants to bring you in on a deal and an invite to their camp and an invite to their summer league team, that's a beautiful thing. You know, dreams are coming true tonight. And at the core of it, that's why you love any draft day.
So let's start at the top. And, you know, Woj put out that tweet that says it's decided that it's Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, and then Paolo Banchero going 1-2-3 in that order. I guess, do you think they got it right? Is that the order you would go with if you had to put them in a pecking order 1, 2, and 3?
So here's the deal. As time goes on, I think that Paolo Banchero could end up being the best player in this draft. I did not think that at first, but the more that I look at Paolo Banchero and the more that I think about these three prospects, here's the deal. Paolo Banchero is not going to have to adjust to the physicality level of the NBA. He is a capable defender. He has multiple ways in which he can finish at the rim. The perimeter shot, of course, it's a fair concern. Once upon a time, though, we said Jason Tatum's perimeter shot was a big concern, and now he's one of the best players in the NBA. And there are others that we can say that about heading into a draft where we said you know, I'm concerned about his ability to affect the game from beyond 15 feet. Well, here's the thing. For me, if you don't have the physical NBA-ready frame and you don't have the ability to defend, it's going to take you time to adapt in those areas. And if you're a liability on that end of the floor, I'm sorry. You're not going to be the talent that I'm asking for at number one. And it's not to say that the two other guys are capable of that as well. I do think tonight's draft order is going to be Jabari Smith at one to the Magic, Chet Holmgren at number two in the Thunder, and I think the Rockets end up being the big winner of this night because the fact that they can get a player as talented, as physical, as tough as Banchero at three, it is such a high reward. But if I'm looking at this draft, the longer that I look and stare at it and look at tape and break down these prospects, it is hard to fathom that Paolo Banchero is not going to go number one in this draft just by virtue of the fact that I think he's totally ready. I think what he did in Coach K's final ride speaks for itself. But you know what? If the NBA draft has showed us anything in the last 5-6 years, it said, guess what? You probably don't want the number one pick. I mean, once upon a time, it was Markelle Fultz. Once upon a time, it was Anthony Bennett. More teams have whiffed on number one, and it's the three and four that have ended up panning out.
It's a great point. All right, you mentioned as you came on, you said it's not just about the guys getting drafted, but it's about the guys also, you know, getting calls at 1 a.m. and, you know, finding out which team they're going to go play for in the summer league. You know, Buddy Boeheim, Cole Swider might be two of those guys. Let's talk about Buddy in particular. What are the chances you think he hears his name called at some point in the second round versus, you know, that he'll be one of those 1 a.m. guys getting a phone call?
I think Buddy Boeheim is one of those 1 a.m. guys getting a phone call. Now, look, let's think about Buddy Boeheim for a moment. He's the type of guy that I think has worked on himself as an athlete to be a 6'6", 6'7", stretch the floor. I watched him at G League Elite Camp called a couple of his games. We had talked back then. And guys, it's dependent on him coming into a situation, coming into the right organization, and being able to not be a liability on the defensive end of the floor and being able to hit perimeter shots. If you're taking him, if you're placing that call, you're placing that call because you know a couple of things. One, you know that Buddy Boeheim can impact the game on the perimeter. Two, you know that Buddy Boeheim is not going to cause a problem for you, ever. He's not going to cause a problem. He's mature. He's got a great mind for the game. Obviously, Dad has helped a lot with that. But he's got a really strong awareness, and teams know that. Organizations know that. There are elements of his game, you know, getting blown by the NBA-level wing. That's obviously a concern, and it's why he's not higher on a board. But I think he gets a call and will be on the summer league roster, and we'll go from there. There are certain guys who have shown up to Vegas, and that's why summer league is fun. People who don't watch a summer league, I understand it's the dead heat of July. I can tell you guys that there are revelations that occur out there where what a team thought of a player totally can change in a couple of days because he just shows that he belongs. And does Buddy Boeheim have the know-how, the shot, the ability to step onto a summer league floor and prove himself? Yes, he does, and that's probably where he's going to have to do it in a couple of weeks.
So we may see some guys drafted tonight that aren't household names, that chose not to go, you know, the college basketball route. There's these other ways they can go, G League, Ignite, the Overtime Elite. There's actually a local kid who went to Bishop Lund, grew up in this area, Jai Smith, who played in the Overtime Elite. Are you expecting any of those guys to hear their names called tonight? And do you think that if they have success, that we're going to see more guys go that route opposed to going to college basketball?
So I think that this is a great point, and I'm glad you guys asked me about this because I talked to a number of players this past week and actually just talked to Trace Jackson Davis yesterday for a feature I'm doing on him and his return to Indiana. And I asked him about NIL money. And without saying it directly, he basically said that, yeah, when I know that I can get comparable NIL money, play at Indiana, play on ESPN on Big Monday, or play on Fox on a Saturday afternoon on a big network game, like, I want to do that at IU, as opposed to getting some sort of a two-way deal and playing in the G League where your games are streamed and, frankly, nobody's watching. So I looked at what you're saying now, and the college route, how ironic is it? How ironic is it that for years the NCAA was stuck in dinosaur times and would not understand the fact that they should allow their athletes benefit off their name, image, and likeness? They finally do that, and the irony is they are going to reap the benefits of it because March Madness is their biggest moneymaker, and that's only going to increase in branding because you're going to have recognizable faces coming back to college like Oscar Tshiebwe, like Armando Bacot. That's good for the college game. That said, it hurts G League Ignite. It hurts Overtime Elite that NIL is essentially a free market right now. That barring some sort of regulation, which Congress has made it known, it ain't happening. That pay for play is what this essentially is. So do I think that G League Ignite can still prove to be successful for the top percentage of players? I do think that, and I think some guys are going to take that route. Like Dyson Daniels tonight, he's not getting talked about a ton nationally. Dyson Daniels is the best defending guard in the draft class, and he is a good distributor of the basketball, and he should be a top 8 pick in this draft tonight because at 19, he's mature beyond his years. But what people don't understand is he didn't pick G League Ignite over college. He really picked G League Ignite over taking the route that a Josh Giddey's taken or that Ball took with the NBL. Like that was the other option, was to play in the NBL, to play out in Australia. So for me, I don't think it's necessarily, after talking with a bunch of prospects this week, like G League Ignite versus college without NIL was a fair debate and a real debate. Name, image, and likeness coming in, the irony of it is it took forever, but it's actually benefiting the college game.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. That's well said, John. This is something that came up on the show and other shows here in town earlier in the week about the fact that Syracuse hasn't had a first-round draft pick going on, you know, a handful of years now. And you look at a program like Duke, and I know Duke is, you know, in that elite, blue blood category, but you've got Duke that's probably going to have 4 guys picked in the first round, plus Trevor Keels somewhere likely in the second round. How much do you think that matters to recruits about, you know, guys who have come before them and how many guys end up in the NBA? Is that a big deal? I mean, I'm sure it's a factor. How big of a factor in your mind is it, John?
It's a big factor. Let's face it. Let's talk about this for one. And for the record, there are a million broadcasters out of Newhouse, and I speak on your show. I'm not one of them. So nothing against it. It's the premier broadcasting school, journalism school in the country. So, but I'm not coming in here as somebody who came out of there or has a Syracuse bias. That being said, I'll be the first person to say it. College basketball is not the same when Syracuse is what they were this past year and when they don't have one of the faces of the sport. And the fact is that, yes, it matters. Kids want to play for the school that produces NBA talent year in and year out. And at the end of the day, and Jim Boeheim has not been short on words with this, the fact of the matter is this. Syracuse isn't getting the kid that Duke or North Carolina are getting. They're just not. But they're in the same league as those two schools. And that's why they were never going to be a natural fit in basketball in the ACC. If you could give them the option to be in the Big East, and it was up to Jim Boeheim, he'd asked for the papers, and he would have asked yesterday. So the fact is that for Syracuse, it comes down to player development. It comes down to being able to say, look, we bring in this kid as one thing. You're going to come out as another, and you're not going to Duke or Carolina, but you're coming to Syracuse, and this is why. This is who we are. And the future of this program is fascinating. I mean, I look at the way that the offseason cycle's gone in college basketball, where just a week ago, a guy that was doing it for over three decades, Bob McKillop, says it's time for me to retire. When we've seen a number of other major, major ground-shaking decisions. I would sit here and say that Syracuse basketball has as fascinating of an upcoming five-year window as any program in America, solely because life after Boeheim is the thought at the top of a neutral's mind, because you're wondering what it's going to look like. You're wondering that because Syracuse, when they're good, it's good for college basketball. Are they a hated brand by the other fans in the country? Yeah. It's good to be despised, but Syracuse fans roll in waves, and it's great for college hoops when they are. But down to the thick of it, the point is here, you got to be able to identify the fit to your program. And the fact is that this past year, to me, like, I thought that Syracuse simply at times was getting beat by other ACC teams because they didn't have the talent level of some of those teams. So it's an interesting point that you raise. You're never going to be at that level that Duke is at in the current climate, but can you get your kind of kid and develop that kind of kid into a better player that can then be more prone to the college game? And Syracuse has done it plenty. I think getting back to that is crucial.
All right, last one for you. Again, NBA draft tonight. We'll have it for you on the TV side of things, on News Channel 9, on the radio side of things here on ESPN Radio. What's something you're going to have your eye on, John, that we haven't talked about yet? Is there a big storyline in your mind going into tonight?
Well, I think it's what happens at number four because, guys, the Sacramento Kings haven't had a single conversation with Jaden Ivey. And it begs the question, what the hell are the Kings doing? Like, I think that they're probably going to trade out, and I think that's the most likely option here. But if they keep the pick and they pick Ivy, that's awkward because Ivy told the press earlier this week that he doesn't want to be a Sacramento King without saying it that directly. He basically said that he'd prefer not to be there because he hasn't had a single conversation with them. And I do think he's the fourth best player in this draft. So what happens to Ivy there at four? And then, guys, the other interesting name to watch is Shaedon Sharpe. 19 years of age, didn't play at Kentucky this past year, has only played 42 competitive games in the last three. So what do we make of Shaedon Sharpe, who could be a star NBA wing if everything pans out? But there's not enough sample size here. So a GM that picks him, and I think he'll go in the top 10 tonight, the general manager selecting him is betting on potential without having a whole lot of evaluation tools to go off of.
Yeah, I'm not sure anybody wants to be a Sacramento King, right, to Jaden Ivey's point.
No.
Ever.
John, no, you're right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, when you're bad, you're bad, and they're bad.
Yeah. And have been for a while. Great stuff, John. Really appreciate you coming on. And I know it's a big night for you. Thanks for finding some time for us. Enjoy the draft, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Hey, I always enjoy joining you guys, and back to the core of it. You know, whenever Buddy Boeheim gets that call tonight, I know one thing, that out of all the different college prospects that are playing in summer league here in a couple of weeks, Buddy Boeheim will have a following in some way, shape, or form because Syracuse fans are as good as any in college basketball. Passion speaks for itself.
No doubt about that, John. Thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. We'll take our final time out, and we'll wrap things up right after this on ESPN Radio.